If you would this morning, turn to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. And we are going to look at the first 10 verses of this psalm. I want to talk this morning about what to do at the end of the year. I want to draw our thoughts from the Word of God, Psalm 105. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful and thankful that we have been afforded the privilege to be here in this place on this day with this people, for the purpose of glorifying and magnifying you. Thank you for the choir, for Brother Jason, for those who played the instruments. We're grateful. They have served us well. They have pointed us toward you. And our hearts and our souls are grateful for their service. Thank you for Brother Eddie, who has sang such a wonderful, beautiful song. It reminds us that in Christ we are pardoned. And no tongue can bid us to leave the place we are in Christ. So thank you for all that has taken place. But I know that if you don't come now, you don't do something now, that what will happen in the next 30 minutes or so will just be dead words falling on deaf ears. So I don't want that to be. I want your word to go forth with power, and that the Spirit would precede that and open the ears of your people and their hearts and their minds to receive your word as truth, that it would make a profound difference in their life by hearing your word and by being here today. So Lord, you know that I depend upon you to cause your people to hear a better message than will be preached. And if you will do that, we will be thankful. Work in every heart, work in every life. For your glory we pray. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake. Amen. The psalmist writes in Psalm 105, verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all of His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders, and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered His covenant forever, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant He made with Abraham, and His oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. And that's God's word. And all God's people said. This is the last Lord's Day, the last Sunday of the year. What I wanted us to do today, before we begin looking to what awaits us in the new year, before we begin to make resolutions and have expectations for what is ahead, I wanted us today just to stop and consider what God has done for us and what God has done with us in this past year. This psalm and the psalm that comes after it, Psalm 106, are designed to be companion psalms. They're to be read together. They're connected. The psalm we are looking at today points to the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. God has been faithful. God will always be faithful. And then Psalm 106 points to us and our unfaithfulness. And those two thoughts run through all of Scripture. The faithfulness of God and the unfaithfulness of humanity. Of course, this psalm is historical. The psalmist weaves into these national historic events God's hand in all matters and all things and all places and all people. So what I want to do this morning is I want us to look at this psalm, share with you three things that we should do every day, but I especially want to make application of these three things as we bring 2019 to a conclusion. Number one. As we end this year, we ought to think back and remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Again, look at verse number 5. He says, remember, remember, remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders, and the judgments of His mouth. The word remember here is an imperative. It's a command. Matter of fact, in these verses that I read, there are 10 imperatives, 10 commands. But one of those commands is that we are commanded to remember. We are commanded to take note of every work that God has done. We are to catalog every grace, every mercy, every act, every provision, every protection, every kindness, every expression of love, every grace, every providence. We are commanded here not to forget that 2019 was a year full of God's marvelous works. And we are not to end this year without remembering what He has done for us. Matter of fact, we are to live our lives with a constant cataloging and a constant recalling of all of the Lord's benefits. And I would confess that I am way behind in doing it. And I would imagine you would agree with me as for yourself. We're all way behind. He says we are to remember His marvelous works. And I would just add that any work of God is a marvelous work because it is God that does it. But let me this morning suggest one marvelous work of God that He has done for His people this past year for you to reflect upon. How about forgiveness? Now, you and I are going to sin today. Say amen. And all of that has already been forgiven. We have been protected and preserved today. We have been already illuminated and enlightened and encouraged and blessed today. And so far, we probably haven't really thought about or said anything about being thankful to the Lord. The word here rendered wonders in the Old Testament literally means the display of His power. Has God not powerfully been present with you this past year? Where would we be today if God had not powerfully interceded for us? Every sin that I committed this past year, every sin that I committed this past year, and they were many, every one of them forgiven. Every one of them. You see, this is not about me having a happy life. This is not about me finding my purpose. This is not about me having a life that is more fulfilling. This is not about me getting what I want. You may not have been happy every day. In this past year, you may have not been sure of your purpose every day. This past year, your life may not have been fulfilling every day. You may have not gotten what you wanted every day. But what you did receive every day, if you are a child of God, is the forgiveness of your sins through the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf on the cross. The good news is about the forgiveness of sin. And because we are forgiven, we escape hell and we are to enter heaven. Isn't that where we should begin? Every day of 2019, I was forgiven. Every single day. And again today, I'm forgiven. And I will continue to be forgiven. You see, we are to keep cataloging God's marvelous gifts. You see, isn't it amazing that we are forgiven? And we are forgiven because of the faithfulness of God. It is not our faithfulness, it is His faithfulness that we are forgiven. I was thinking when we were singing the song, It Is Well. 2019, everything wasn't well. Everything wasn't well with our health. Everything wasn't well with our emotional states. Everything wasn't well in the church. Everything wasn't well in the school. Everything wasn't well in my family or yours. Certainly everything is not well in our country. But what was well every day was our souls. Because every day we found forgiveness. And we fail to recognize that forgiveness is a marvelous work of God. Not only are we to remember God's works, but we are to remember God's word. The word judgment here, judgment from his mouth, is a word that means his decisions, his decrees, his commands, his terms. We are constantly to remember what God has said, what he has declared, what he has decided, what he has commanded. We remember what God has said. We recognize that what God has said is true, and we trust his words as the foundation of our belief and the foundation of our behavior. Remember his words. Remember all that we have learned this year. Remember all that we have studied this year. His words will encourage. His words will instruct. His words will enlighten. They will direct. They will rebuke. And they will correct. Remember his works. Remember his words. Because nothing happened last year by accident. All orchestrated by a sovereign, marvelous, wonderful, loving. So the first thing we should do before we end this year is we ought to remember the Lord. Number two, we should rejoice in the Lord. Remember the Lord and rejoice in the Lord. Verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all of his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice and seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. What happens when we remember the marvelous works and the words of God is that it brings us to a place of worship. As you look through the scriptures, it was when the people of God forgot God that they failed to worship God. It is when we remember, it is when we recollect, it's when we catalog, it's when we count our blessings that we are brought to a place of worshiping God. So he says, give thanks. Give thanks. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing, sing, sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of his wondrous works. So here's the question. How many would say that God last year, 2019, still this year, God has intervened and has done wondrous works in your life? Say amen. Now here's the question. Why did God do that? Why did God perform wondrous works? Why did God bring his wonderful word to your heart? Why did God provide for you? Why did God protect you? Why did God take care of you? Why did God do all that he did for you? Why was God with us each and every day? Why, if I started now, I could not begin to count all the ways that God has been good to me this past year? Why? The answer is so that you might see him. And upon seeing him, you might worship him. You see, the psalmist said, what God wants us to do is to sing unto him. Sing to God. And God wants us to speak to each other of all that God has done for us. He wants us to express to one another, to communicate to one another, to share with one another all that God is doing. This is not something for personal, private consumption. Our remembrance of God is for a public, corporate worship. Sing, speak, seek more of Him. So here's the thing. If you're thankful for God's providential care in your life in 2019, the psalmist says, then sing. If you are thankful for God's providential care in your life in 2019, then tell somebody about it. If you're thankful for God's providence in your life in 2019, then seek more of Him. You see, the benefits from God come nonstop to us. But because of our sin, we're unable to remember them all, aren't we? We're unable to see them all. We gloss over them. We take them for granted. And because of our sin and our inability to remember all that God has done for us, none of us comes close to worshiping God in the way we ought to worship Him. And to worship Him like this is what God demands, right? It's what God deserves. But it's not what He gets. We sing unenthusiastically. We don't tell anyone what God has done for us this week. And we seek our glory and not His. God, forgive us. May God grant us grace to see Him more so that we may worship Him more. So God does all that He does, and God says all that He says, and enables us to hear all that we hear, so that we, His people, will glory in His holy name. The reason God has been so good to you, the reason God has so providentially cared for you this year is so that His name may be glorified, that His name may be uplifted, that you would tell the nations, that you would tell the people of a God that is great and wonderful and magnificent. Not so that you'll be happy, not so that you'll be fulfilled, but that He would be glorified. Not glorying in ourselves, not glorying in our religion, not glorying in our church, but glorying in His holy name. And so He says here that worship, this kind of worship, comes from the heart of His people. So what I'm not asking you to do is to do some manual, external, contrived effort of worship. No, in a heart that remembers the goodness and grace of God in their lives, that heart will naturally and inevitably rejoice and worship that God and seek His strength and His As John Piper has said, God is doing a million things in your life, and you may be aware of three of them. May we seek to see more of them. God, if I'm seeing three, let me see four. Let me see five, so that my singing would be louder and my sharing of Your greatness would be greater and my desire to glorify You would be more. Remember the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord because He does everything that He does in our lives for His glory, for His fame, for His honor. Number three, rest. Rest in the Lord. Verse 6. O ye seed of Abraham, you descendants of Abraham, you children of Abraham, you children of Jacob, his chosen, Abraham his servant, Jacob his chosen, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all of the earth. He hath remembered, listen, He hath remembered His covenant forever. He hath remembered His covenant forever. The word which He commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant He made with Abraham and His oath to Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Remember everything that God has done for you. Remember all of His marvelous works. Remember all of His words. Rejoice in the fact. Rejoice. Worship. Uplift Him, because the reason that He was so involved in our life is for His glory. But know this. God has governed, and God has operated, and God has moved, and God has done, and God has blessed according to a covenant that He has made with His people. And while we may not remember all that God has done, we may not remember God as we should, God never fails to remember the covenant He has made with His people. It is God's covenant. Particularly here in the context, the covenant He made with Abraham, which He confirmed with His son Isaac and His grandson Jacob. And it's hard to miss the point of this covenant being the governing action of God, because it occurs three times in these verses. Verses 8, 9, and 10, there's the covenant. Now, what is a covenant? Well, we could say a covenant is a promise. In this case, it's a promise made by God to Abraham and his descendants. But both the word covenant and the word promise may be misunderstood by us. A covenant may suggest a bargaining with God. A covenant may be, God does some, I do the rest. That's not what God says. God's covenants are established apart from any of our assets. Then we also know that if we view this as a promise, we treat promises lightly, don't we? But God never treats a promise lightly. Maybe we should view this covenant, this promise, as a solemn commitment. God made a commitment to Abraham. He confirmed that commitment with Isaac and with Jacob. And the commitment is to His people. Here, in this literal context, the commitment here is God's promise to give Abraham's descendants a land of their own. And this covenant, this commitment that God makes with Abraham and his descendants, is a unilateral covenant, meaning that God alone sets the terms and that He promises fulfillment apart from the faithfulness or the lack of faithfulness of His people. In other words, God is committed to His people whether you're committed to Him or not. It doesn't depend upon our commitment, because God is committed. You with me? Now this does not mean that we are absolved from any responsibility. We have to receive God, and We have to receive God as our God, right? We have to promise Him our allegiance, and we come to Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. Say amen. But as you look at the rest of this chapter, we see historical data of God's faithfulness to His people for His glory according to His commitment or His covenant that He has made with them. And when you go to chapter 106, you see that while God is doing all of this wonderful, marvelous works for His people are unfaithful. And yet He remains steady, committed. So God, being good to me and being good to you this year, was not because we did something to deserve it. It wasn't because I was good, so God was good to me. No. God was good to us this year. God providentially was with us this year because of His commitment to His covenant. And we scan the rest of this chapter, we see that God's hand was in their protection. God's hand was in the famines that came into their land. He sent Joseph before them to save them in the famine, although this was a great time of sorrow for Joseph as he was sold into slavery. This historical data in this chapter includes 400 years of Egyptian bondage in which God causes the Egyptians to hate His people. He sends plagues to persuade Pharaoh to let His people go. He protects them in the wilderness by a cloud during the day, a pillar of fire by night. There's 40 years of wilderness wandering in which He fed them and provided water for them, even water from a rock for their thirst. So there were good things, and there were sorrowful things. That's what our year has been, right? There has been good. There has been sorrow. But all of them were showing forth His commitment to us and to His name. So look at verse 42. It's not 42. What verse is it? Yeah, I guess it is 42. Verse 42 tells us that God remembers His holy promise. God remembers His holy promise. He brought forth His people with joy and His chosen with gladness, and He gave them the land that they inherited, things that they had not worked for. So God promised to Abraham a land. He confirmed that with Isaac. He reaffirmed that with Jacob. And in the end, God did exactly what He promised He would do. Not because of their faithfulness, but because of His commitment to His covenant and to His name. Then look at verse 45, that they might observe His statutes and keep His law. Praise ye the Lord. God has made a promise in His Word that if you will come to Christ, if you will trust Christ, if you will believe Christ, that you will be saved. And being saved, that God will provide a place for you in heaven. We are promised in Christ salvation, sanctification, and glorification. We are promised His Spirit will be with us here, and we will be with Him in heaven. He has promised that He will return so that where He is, we may be there also. And everything that He does for us is according to the fulfilling of that promise or that commitment that He has made. So all things work together for good. My spiritual good, my salvational good, my sanctifying good. Everything works for my good because everything is according to His commitment. To His covenant. And so I say all that to say this. God does the work. And we are simply to remember that it is God that is doing it. We are to rejoice in what He is doing. And we are to glorify Him by resting from all efforts and all works in what He is doing. And I promise you today that God will not fail to be faithful to the covenant that He has made with the people of faith. So, as we come to the end of this year, remember all of His marvelous works and words. Rejoice in Him. Rejoice in Him. Sing. 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 Don't move lips. Sing. Don't be afraid somebody's going to hear you. Sing. We're commanded to sing. Sing. Has God been good? Sing. Tell somebody. Tell somebody what God's done for you. Seek Him. Desire to see more of Him so that you can sing louder and speak greater. Rest in Him. Rest. Rest in Him. Stop trying to be better. Stop trying to do. Just rest. He's enough. I don't have to be good. He was good. I don't have to do better. He was the best. He will not fail to make good on His word because His very reputation is on the line. And as the choir sung, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we do know who holds tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen next year, but I know this, God will be with us. And we should rejoice all the way and rest that He's got this.